بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in today's pre-khutbah talk, we study a chapter of the Quran, one of the shorter chapters of the Quran, that was revealed at a very early stage while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And that is Surah Az-Zilzal. Az-Zilzal translates as the quake. Yesterday many of us experienced a tremor in this masjid. During Dhuhr Salah we experienced a tremor. Many in Durban and in surrounding areas were also affected by this tremor. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of tremors. Allah azza wa jal speaks of earthquakes. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named an entire chapter in the Quran Az-Zilzal, the earthquake, speaking of a specific shaking of the earth, a specific and an unimaginable earthquake that will take place. The surah is known as Surah Az-Zilzal, or more commonly known as Surah Idha Zulzilat. As far as the virtues of the surah is concerned, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith that Surah Az-Zilzal equals half the Quran. There are certain surahs in the Quran that are so great and so virtuous and carry so much reward that by reciting those surahs, a person receives the reward of reciting certain portions of the Quran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Surah Idha Zulzilat, or Surah Az-Zilzal, that it equals half the Quran. In other words, in virtue, in rewards, by reciting it once, one receives the reward of reciting half the Quran. The hadith is narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about Surah Ikhlas, and we know the hadith is quite famous with regards to Surah Ikhlas. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says Surah Al-Ikhlas, that is Qul Huwallahu Ahad, that surah equals a third of the Quran, and Surah Al-Kafirun, which is Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, equals a quarter of the Quran. That is as far as the virtues of the surah is concerned. With regards to the period of revelation, now in the Quran, when we discuss and when we speak of the period of revelation, there are two eras and there are two periods. One is the Makki period. The Meccan period refers to every such chapter of the Quran, every such verse of the Quran that was revealed prior to the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that type of a surah or that chapter, that verse of the Quran will be referred to as a Makki, a Meccan chapter, a Meccan ayah of the Quran. The second type of chapters that we find and verses that we find in the Quran are referred to as Madani. Madani surahs, those surahs, those chapters, those ayat of the Quran that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam post-hijrah, after the migration that was undertaken to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, as far as Surah Az-Zilzal is concerned, majority of the Sahaba and the scholars of Tafsir, they maintain the view that it is a Makki surah. It was revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah. It was one of the very early surahs and chapters of the Quran that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what supports this view is the style and the theme, the message that's contained within the surah. When we look at the Meccan surahs, we will find that the Meccan surahs are always giving us a description, a very vivid description of Akhirah. The surahs that were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah were not surahs that contained laws and were not surahs that contained rulings and injunctions. Those surahs were revealed in Madinah al-Munawwarah. In fact, the longest chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, its revelation started in Madinah al-Munawwarah, And the last verse that was revealed of the Quran is also found in Surah Baqarah, which means that Surah Baqarah, which contains bulk of the rules and laws and injunctions pertaining to our daily lives, that surah was revealed over a period of 10 years during Rasulullah's stay in Madinatul Munawwarah. So those type of surahs pertaining to the laws of fasting and the laws of talaq and the laws of nikah and the laws of zakah and so forth were revealed 13 years after the first revelation that had taken place in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But when you look at the chapters that were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they are very powerful chapters. They give us very vivid descriptions, very clear descriptions of Jahannam. They speak very openly of Jannah. They speak very openly of Akhirah, the life after death. They speak of the Qabr, they speak of grave, they speak of Qiyamah, they speak of the blowing of the trumpet. Why is that? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explains the reason for that. She says, إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ أَوَّلْ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْهُ سُورَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُفَصَّلِ. She says, the very first chapters that were revealed of the Quran were these short chapters that are found in surah or in the last juz of the Quran, in the 30th juz of the Quran. So you have chapters like Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Wama Adraka Mal-Qari'ah. You have Waylul Likulli Humazatil Lumaza, Al-Hakumut Takathur. Amongst those surahs, Idha Zulzilatil Ardu Zilzalaha. She says these chapters were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Why? And she said, what do these chapters contain? What are the themes of these chapters? There's a common message in all these chapters you find generally. What is it? Dhikru Jannah. Allah is speaking of Jannah. Wa dhikru Nar. Allah is speaking of the fire of Jahannam. And all aspects related to Akhirah and life after death. She says, وَلَوْ نَزَلَ أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started revelation with injunctions, with laws, with do's and don'ts, with prohibitions, she says, if that was the situation, لَوْ نَزَلْ أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ, if the first revelation and the first ayat that were revealed were instructing people, لَا تَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرِ, don't drink khamr, don't drink wine. The prohibition of wine came down where? In Madinatul Munawwarah. She says, if that was the first rule, if that was the first injunction, if that was the first law, and those type of laws, if they were the very first ayat of the Quran to be revealed in Makkah to Mukarramah, that don't drink alcohol, don't drink khamar, people would have said, la nada'u al-khamar abada. What's this? We're not going to give up khamar. We're not going to give up khamar. What's this new religion that has been introduced to us, telling us immediately, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that. She says, that was not the case. That was not the case with the revelation that came down from Allah Azza wa Jal. And she says, if one of the first rulings were لا تزنوا, do not commit zina, then people would have said لا ندعو الزنا أبدا, we are not going to give up zina. But she says the first verses and ayat that were revealed contained such messages that were hard-hitting, that molded our hearts. When you speak of Akhirah, that built our iman, that built our conviction, and then came down the laws, it was easy to accept the laws and injunctions because we understood why these laws and injunctions are being revealed and why we have to do what we are told to do and why we have to abandon what we are told to leave out, because there is Akhirah. So sometimes for us as well, you find maybe perhaps there is negligence with regards to the fulfillment of certain commandments. There's negligence with regards to staying away from certain acts of vice. How do I remedy this? What is the solution? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala provides us with the solution. She says that you need to think of Akhirah. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that is going to govern your life and govern your behavior in this world. You have a firm, overwhelming conviction of Akhirah. That whatever I do in this world, I will face the consequence, if not in this world, in Akhirah. Whatever good I do in this world, I will be rewarded for it in this world and in Akhirah. So what determines that? Your behavior in this world. What's going to govern it? What's going to sort of control your behavior in this world is the level of conviction you have in Akhirah. You know, in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of the muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists five attributes of this. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. When Allah speaks of al ghaib, Allah says they have iman in al ghaib. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Walladhina yu'minuna, and those who have iman. Allah says they have iman in al ghaib. They have iman in what was revealed to them. But when Allah speaks of the akhirah, Allah says the relationship with the akhirah is not one of iman. Wa bil akhirati hum yuqinun. When it comes to the akhirah, they don't only have iman, but what do they have? Above and beyond iman, they have yaqeen. What is yaqeen? Yaqeen is an overwhelming feeling of conviction. It's a level beyond iman, above iman. Why is it that we need to develop yaqeen with regards to the akhirah? Not just believe, we all believe. We all believe there's akhirah. We all believe there's life after death. Believe in life after death. Believe in accountability. Believe in resurrection is not sufficient in order to prompt us towards good and hinder us from evil. We don't just need belief. What do we need? Yaqeen. Yaqeen. And based on your level of yaqeen, conviction in the akhirah, will you behave in this world? That's why when it comes to akhirah, iman is not enough. We need to have a level of yaqeen. How do I remedy that? How do I boost my yaqeen? By boosting your yaqeen in al-akhirah, what's going to happen? You are going to watch what you do. You are going to think before you speak. You are going to be concerned of every deed that you perform in this world, because that yaqeen is right up there. Before you do anything, you think, wait, hold on, what's going to happen to me in akhirah if I do this? It's like the law of the land. You have yaqeen in the consequences of a crime that you might commit. And that's why you will not commit that crime. You will not commit the offense. Because there's yaqeen, there's an overwhelming feeling of conviction that if I commit the offense, there's a consequence that I'm going to face. So I will not evade my tax, for example, because I know there's a penalty that I am going to have to deal with. I will not break the law because that's yaqeen. That's yaqeen. If that's what's stopping you, right, thinking about the consequence of your deed or consequence of what you are going to do, if that's what's stopping you, that's yaqeen. That is what we need to develop with regards to akhirah. And what's the best way to do it? She tells us, study. Study those shorter chapters of the Quran. Study Surah Al-Qari'ah. Study the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks and gives us a vivid and clear and open description of life after death, how we will be resurrected, how we will be ushered before Allah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us, what we will be questioned about, how we are going to be risen up from the graves. She says, study those ayat. So if I find personally within myself, I'm having a problem with, you know, with regards to fulfilling certain commandments of Sharia, you need to go to the root of the problem. What's the root of the problem? It's my conviction in akhirah. I believe, but I need to now take that belief to the next step, to the next level, yaqeen. When you take it up there to yaqeen, that will govern your behavior on earth. How you fulfill the commandments of Allah, how you deal with others, how you treat others, all of that, all those affairs will be set right and will be rectified based on your yaqeen in al-akhirah. So she says, that is why in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there were no laws that were revealed. There were no injunctions that were revealed. There were no rulings that were revealed. There were no do's and don'ts in Makkah al-Mukarramah. It was all about boosting the yaqeen, pumping our yaqeen. Then when we came to Madinah al-Munawwarah, when we were told beverages, alcoholic beverages, khamar is haram, we accepted it. Happily accepted it. When we were told that riba and engaging in an interest-bearing transaction is haram, we happily accepted it. Why? We understood, not only understood, we were convinced that there's akhirah, that there is akhirah. So that is what we need to develop in this dunya, in this world as Muslims. If it comes to negligence with regards to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to find ways to create that yaqeen, overwhelming conviction within my heart that there is an akhirah, not just belief, and that there is consequences in al-akhirah, and I will be rewarded for the good that I do in this world, and I may suffer the consequences of the evil that I perpetrate while living on the face of earth. So when we look at Surah Az-Zilzal, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ زِلْزَالَهَا, when we look at the theme, when we look at the style, we look at the message, very powerful. Allah speaks of that quake, right? That very heavy quake. Like I said, it's not going to be like a tremor that we just experienced yesterday. Not that just a small jolt, but a real shake of the earth. And Allah gives us a vivid description about it. When we see the theme and we study the style, we realize that this is indeed a Meccan surah, a surah that was revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah. Moving on to the theme and the subject matter, the second life after death. The second life after death. That's the main theme, right? The main theme is our resurrection. There's another life that we are going to live. And the soul is being transported from one realm into another realm. The vehicle is the body. And once again, this body, after being reduced to dust and to bones, will be reconstructed, and we will emerge from our graves, and there's a whole new world that we are going to face, and a whole new life that we are going to live. So that's the theme of the surah, to remind you of that life that comes after this temporary life. Verses 1 to 3, Allah speaks of the earthquake, which will mark the second stage of resurrection. There are still two stages when it comes to resurrection, right? So when Allah speaks of the quake here, He's speaking of the second quake, the second shaking of the earth. There are going to be two quakes that we are going to speak about. Surah Zilzal is not speaking of the first quake and the first eruption of the earth, but it speaks of the second quake and the second shaking of the entire planet on which we live. So that's, you'll find Ayah 1 to 3 speaks of that quake. Allah describes it for us. Verses 4 and 5 speaks of the earth's testimony against mankind. The earth is a recorder. It records every deed that's perpetrated on it. It has a built-in recorder with unlimited megabytes. Today, one of the biggest concerns is we're worried about memory, unlimited memory. That's the word. Unlimited memory. For billions of years, it records, and it records. Allah says it has a recorder. So the next, after Allah speaks of how this quake will take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the earth's testimony against mankind. Your entire life will be played before you when you are resurrected from your grave. And verses 6 to 8 speaks of the presentation of all the deeds of mankind. Let's go into the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha zulzilatil ardu zilzalaha. When the earth is shaken to her utmost convulsion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses idha when He commences the surah. Many other surahs of the Quran. Well, not many others, but another surah that commences with Idha Ja'a Nasrullah. Idha. When is Idha used? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start a statement with Idha? Idha means when. So Idha is used to remind of something. Idha. When you hear Idha, right? When. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Idha to remind you of something which people continuously forget. Something that you continuously forget. Akhirah is something that we continuously forget, so you need continuous reminding of Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Idha. And Allah uses Idha also when He wishes to convey to you something of great importance. When somebody says when to you, somebody just says when, you want to know when what? When what? So there's a question created in the mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Idha, when. When you hear when, you want to know what's coming next. So it is used, Idha is used in order to speak of something that's extremely important, something that will happen without doubt. It's not if, Allah does not say if, in. If the earth will be shaken to its uttermost convulsion. Allah subhanahu says Idha. When is Idha used in the Arabic language? Idha is used to denote something whose occurrence is definite, but the time of occurrence is indefinite. Occurrence is definite, It's definitely going to happen. Ida. It is going to happen, but its time and its occurrence, or the time of its occurrence, is unknown and is indefinite. So that is as far as Ida is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ida zulzilat. What is zulzilat? Zulzilat means to be shaken violently. Not a small tremor. Not a small tremor that we experience for a second or so. But zulzilat. Zulzilat means to be shaken violently and to be shaken over and over again. Right? To be shaken and shaken and shaken and shaken all the time. That's zulzilat. And violently. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says zulzilat. Allah uses a passive verb. Allah says when it will be shaken. The earth will be shaken. Allah did not say Allah will shake the earth. Allah says when the earth will be shaken. When do you use a passive verb in Arabic? To denote that the act that is being performed is very easy. It doesn't require much strain and effort. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this planet is just a dot in the universe. It's a dot in the entire universe compared to the sun and compared to the many other galaxies of stars and planets that we have over there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتْ, when the earth will be shaken violently over and over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Ard. Idha zulzilatil ard. Al-Ard means that the entire earth will be shaken, and not a limited territory of it. Yesterday we experienced a tremor, which was limited to Durban and the surrounding areas. And many other parts of the country were not affected by the tremor. But this shaking of the earth will not be confined. It will not be, take place only in a certain part of the earth. Allah says, Al-Ard. The entire earth will be shaken. And that is what we understand in the usage of the word Al-Ard. Allah says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ زِلْزَالَهَا. What does زِلْزَالَهَا mean? So, إِذَا means when. إِذَا when زُلْزِلَتْ الْأَرْضُ, the entire earth will be shaken. Then Allah says, زِلْزَالَهَا. زِلْزَالَهَا. Now, if Allah had to say, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ, the sentence or the ayah makes perfect sense. There's no need for زِلْزَالَهَا. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ means when the earth will be shaken violently over and over again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds something. What does he say? Zilzalaha. Zilzalaha in Arabic we refer to as maf'ul mutlaq. What's maf'ul mutlaq? It is a verbal noun which comes after the verb and resembles the verb in the form to denote emphasis. To denote emphasis. So one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you it's going to be shaken violently over and over again, and then he says zilzalaha to emphasize the shaking. It's not going to be a normal shaking. It's going to be convulsion after convulsion. It's going to be a very, very severe shaking of the earth. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this, and that's what zilzalaha denotes. So إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ, when the earth will be shaken violently, zilzalaha to its uttermost convulsion. You won't be able to shake it any more violently than it has been shaken. Allah says, إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّ, also in the Quran, when the earth is leveled, pounded and crushed. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. So, when we study the word زِلْزَالَهَا, it refers to an earthquake that is so powerful that no earthquake can be compared to it. An incredible earthquake. An unimaginable earthquake. An uncomparable earthquake. That is what that earthquake will be like. The second quaking of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nazi'at, He speaks of the blowing of the trumpet. Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ. The first blowing of the trumpet is known as Rajifa. The first blowing of the trumpet. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of two moments when the trumpet will be blown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ. The first stage of resurrection. Rajifa, the blowing of the trumpet for the first time, that will mark the first stage of resurrection when all living beings will perish and the present order of the world will be upset. That's the first blowing of the trumpet, right? Which will destroy everything. And then will come, Allah says, تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةَ. Allah says, after Radifa will come a Radifa, the second blowing of the trumpet. The second blowing of the trumpet, the second quake that will take place. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke of the duration between the two blowings of the trumpet, he says it will be a duration of 40 years. 40 years will pass from the blowing of the trumpet, from the first quake until the second quake. The second time the trumpet will be blown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَرَجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ. So first you'll have a rajifa, and then you will have a radifa. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this second quake. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, fear your Rabb. Always be conscious of your Rabb. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةَ. The zalzala, the shaking, the quaking of the earth. شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed it is something really, really great. It is something that you need to be concerned about. The shaking and the quaking of the earth. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the shaking of the earth here in Surah Az-Zilzal, it refers to that shaking and it refers to that quake. The second one that we will experience when we will once again emerge from our graves. It's you know, imagine this, you have, I don't even know if you have it these days, you still have those money tins, right, with a little slit on the top, and you put some coins into it, and you want every coin to come out, and how do you shake it? You just keep on shaking it violently until every coin it comes out of that money tin. That is how the earth will be shaken on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want every last body to come out of that earth. And that is what is described in these first ayat of Surah Zilzal. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. The first ayah of Surah Zilzal, in fact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. We will continue with the commentary of this chapter in our next pre-khutbah talk. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.